Episode 491 of Global From Anywhere podcast, Inside Build My Online Store and the Rise of Agentic Commerce.
Welcome to Global From Anywhere podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Mike.
And I'm Lisa. Today, we are diving deep into the future of e-commerce. And honestly, if you're selling online and still doing things the old-fashioned way, this episode is your wake-up call.
Absolutely. The landscape is shifting so fast, especially with AI, and our guest today is right at the bleeding edge of it. We're sitting down with Christian Kelly Garcia, the CEO of Power Living Holdings.
Now, Christian isn't just a high-level executive talking theory. This guy has deep roots in Amazon operations. He started as a hands-on specialist and scaled up to running an absolute powerhouse. Power Living Now manages a massive portfolio of brands, reaching over 20 countries and serving more than 100,000 customers.
Yeah, that's serious scale. But what's really fascinating about Christian right now is his evolution. Lately, he's been moving away from just standard account management and pushing hard into building internal apps and AI-powered systems to streamline their entire operation.
Right. And we're going to get into the weeds on that today. We're talking about agentic commerce. If you haven't heard that term yet, don't worry. We're going to define it. Essentially, it's about AI agents that don't just give you data, but actually execute tasks and make decisions for your business. Christian is living this right now, both as a builder and as a user of platforms like Build My Online Store, or BMOS.
We're going to get his completely honest, unfiltered user perspective on BMOS. No sales pitches, just what's working and what still needs to be figured out. Plus, he's going to share exactly where cross-border sellers need to place their bets over the next 2 to 3 years so they don't get left behind.
It is going to be a masterclass in modern e-commerce automation. So, grab a notepad, settle in, and let's welcome Christian to the show.
Hey, entrepreneurs, if you're serious about scaling your cross-border business in 2026, don't miss the Cross-Border Summit happening November 3rd to 5th in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Network with speakers and fellow advanced sellers who are already navigating AI tools, tariff strategies, and new market expansion. Early bird tickets available at 2026.crossbordersummit.com.
Thanks, everybody, for checking out our new live, rather new it is. I think it's the third live, maybe fourth, depending. I think fourth official, fourth unofficial, third official. And it's Wednesday evening, Asia time. And we have with us Christian Garcia. He's got a lot of hats, but his main hat is CEO at Power Living Holdings, which is our group of Amazon, or I shouldn't say Amazon, e-commerce brands, but of course still primarily revenue from Amazon, but we are working to change that. We're going to share that later. But how are you doing today, Christian?
Hi, Mike. So nice to be here and doing great. Still puzzled with this AI world. I'm not sure how is everyone doing there, but yeah, maybe we will share some hacks here or what we are building, what we are doing for the e-commerce to adapt with this AI. So yeah, I think...
I think it's the people, even the most experienced people I know in this AI space are also overwhelmed. I think it's, of course, it's an uncomfortable feeling to be overwhelmed. But I think I tell you and I say to others, what is the saying? Diamonds are forged in pressure. Something like under pressure is when we build diamonds. And I think we are making diamonds. The brands are doing well. And yeah, like these tools we've been making are doing well. So yeah, I'm excited to share with people today. If you are tuning in live, there's a few of you. I don't know if Will's here and others, but you can say hi in the chat. You can shout out questions, send some reactions on our new live software. Don't be shy. And we'll try to see if we can take them during the session or at the end. But let's start a little bit about you. I don't think you've been on the... I know you've been to the Cross-Border Summit and you spoke at our summit, but have you been on the show before? I can't remember.
Not on this kind of show or
the podcast, like the I don't think so.
No.
I don't remember. I could have, we're almost at 500 shows, so I could have forgotten, but I don't think so. You've been with us on the team, how many, 5 years? Almost 5 years. Yeah, it's awesome. And I remember it was the aggregator craze when you were here. I've been with aggregators, you've been with aggregators. And that was crazy. I think 2021, 2022 was really crazy for aggregators. Cool, get some emoji reactions. I think I know the story. Even I don't really know the exact story, but I think your background was what? I think it was aerospace or aero, some kind of, I feel, am I wrong? Or architecture or airplanes? I feel, wasn't it something tech, your degree or your studies was something like that? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is. So to be exact, I was like certified engineer in the aircraft. So kind of.
Aircraft, yeah.
Yeah, focus on electrical, guys. So I think that also what supports me fully in this kind of niche, because technically those kind of job really like a lot of analysis, detailed diagrams and whatsoever, a lot of numbers and data involved. So I was like graduating that at that time, but it's pandemic. So I think a lot of people here experience that kind of, you need to shift or you need to adjust based on what's happening in the economy. So then I study different kind of niches. And just to be like clear, I was really planning to have or do business entrepreneur. And I stumbled to this e-commerce journey. I enter a course. It's funny. I think they are bankrupt now. I think like $600 just to get a course for that. But yeah, I think they have 20,000 enrollees, like crazy. I think these people made a lot of money from wow, the past. Filipino thing, like wherever there is a trend, they will follow it. And even I think they really know how to sell. But whatever, because they are flexing their income and whatsoever.
Yeah.
So they are like, is he rich want us?
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, for me, since I was really planning to get a business from before, I enrolled, and of course I push, like, and I study a lot just to really understand it more. And then yeah, I just started applying and I saw you. So yeah, you are the first one who trust me. I think I mentioned this for all those people who, I think 2024 or five, no, four, those people who heard my speech or my talk.
Yeah.
In that event. So yeah, it's Mike who is the one trusted me in this kind of journey. And I still believe that I'm doing well. And I believe some of the team still. I believe that kind of,
yeah, man. You're doing amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've been growing, like we chatted earlier. Well, I don't know. I don't even know how other businesses operate, but we have our way, and I think you're is thriving in the way we work. And I try to just be flexible, right? The world is crazy now. We can't be traditional thinking. So like everything is changing. Do you want to share within Amazon Brands, like how you've adjusted with all this AI tools? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think let's jump to the actual topic for today. I think, let me give you an overview, guys. So ever since I was like doing this kind of business or job, I was like puzzled with all the templates. I want everything to have a template and organized, not something that always new to me. Those things that is repetitive. So I want them to have a workflow already. And I believe most of the business owners is doing the same. But for me, I really build crazy spreadsheet templates, because we all know how Amazon or e-commerce works, because e-commerce or maybe most of the business runs with numbers. And obviously, if you want to be ahead or want to be like understand everything in your business, you need to understand all the numbers. So I studied that, and yeah, I learned a lot of formulas actually to build like multi tabs and then multi spreadsheets connecting to each other just to make my dashboard okay. And then I kind of learned more with the Looker Studio, and after that, AI came. Like everything changed. AI came. At first, we all know that it started with the OpenAI and or ChatGPT or what they called it before, but we all know that from the past it's not that good. But before, I think for the last 6 months, we've been building a lot. So what I've been doing is like all the templates I had before, guys, is like everything is in the one app now. Everything is automated because of the AI. What my point there is, it's not just simple AI. Like technically, we study and work hard in technical terms. So I think me and Mike is kind of discussing this. How are the other sellers doing? Are we like being behind or are we too ahead? But what I can say now is if we want to be better on this business is you need to be more technical. And I believe Mike is the first person who mentioned that, and I totally agree with it, because right now, if you will rely for third-party people or third-party services, I don't think that's practical now. Because now, what I build is a full automation in terms of the data. So it means that I have all the sales data coming, all the supply chain, all the collaboration with the team, how we handle the business, or technically all the cases, all the discussion and approval and whatsoever. And I was actually adding this a while ago, the case support and then the researchers. So I want to put them as well inside the app. Technically, I was specsing out before this call. So why I am doing that, guys? Because AI can analyze all of those. And one thing I realized while I was working with AI is it's always hard for them to give you data or to give them a data. Okay, you will start a chat. Maybe all of you guys is, or most of the people here is using chats or whatsoever, but that's the point. You will maybe connect a Google Drive or whatsoever, but it's not good enough because AI right now have limitations. I'm not sure how technical you are, but they are like JSON, HTML, and AI is not good with spreadsheets or Google Doc. There are some limitations in those. That's why I pull everything out and move to the inside the app. The reason is for AI to read everything for us. It means that it can analyze what are the current status of the business, what are the current sales, what are the coming out of stock, what are the events coming. It can suggest already what products you can offer based on stocks limitation or current sales velocity, all of those data. So that's not all. Actually, that's just the... Actually, I was really thinking about this, Mike. After our calls, actually, we have a lot of calls this morning or afternoon. I was thinking like this project management, like it really gave me a hint that I think each business owner should have one project management that connects all your business data. Because with that one project management, you can talk with your AI like he or I'm not sure if you keep names with your AI, guys, but we do.
We give them names.
Yeah, so if he or she can talk to you like he knows the business. So that's all. That's all. And one thing I also integrated, so we have Shadstone tool. I'm not sure if people use it. I think some people is using it from some of the watchers here, but it's like a image generation and video generation tool. I also contributed on that one. The point of that, guys, is I want to automate the content creation part. So if you will think about it, when you have one tool already that have all the data of your business, and then you will create a content, isn't it amazing that the AI can already suggest better than you? That's what I was really amazed and surprised. Oh my God, this one is great. So technically, I built those two. I built my app, my project management app that holds all the business data. And then we have this content management tool that can generate you the better output. Of course, I don't say that like it's a totally dream, guy. It's a total dream if it acts like a human, right? But of course, you need some tweak and R&D. Like we are doing a lot of R&D, guys. Like we are burning money with R&D, and technically that one, like it automatically generate images, videos through that app, and then we pull it back and then we post it where social medias, websites, wherever you are, you want to post all of this content that you have. So for me, I think that what I've been doing now with the AI. I know I answered the question, but I went too far because I'm still really amazed on what's happening now, guys.
Yeah. So I'll recap, so make sure people understand. But I also want to highlight, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of, it was a lot. Even before AI, you were always really good with the Excel. Like you said, you had always made these massive spreadsheets, and then you learned Google Looker Studio. For those that don't know, it's not a Google product that kind of can take lots of data and make it in a dashboard style, presentation style. I don't know. I guess it's still, probably people still use it with AI, but we've moved on from that. And so during this AI, I don't think it was like that for, like you said, ChatGPT was 2022. I think around December or November 2022, I think is when ChatGPT came out. And at the beginning, that was kind of like, it was kind of cool, right? But I don't think it was like doing anything like what we're doing. I think maybe last year, 2025 was when it started to become more useful, I think. And of course, 2026 is when it really just became unbelievable, but even late 2025. So I think we started and the team really getting deep in it, like in the summer, right? Like summer 2025. And yeah, like you said, we burned lots of different tokens, lots of different tools, lots of different softwares we've tried and used. But yeah, like you said, and actually I'm still learning from you, but yeah, like you said one project management system for your centralized data of your business. So that's what you've done a lot of it, most of it. And you've made this system that can aggregate the data and also manage the team, manage the campaigns. But then, like you said, we have other apps. I've made quite a bit and you've helped with a lot of them, but for content creation and other types of systems to also add to that. But I think it's an opportunity. We don't have a service we're selling on this exactly. But I do think there's opportunity. It's even you, Christian, is helping people set these project management systems up. I think it's personal. I don't know if you have an opinion. Maybe we could kind of give some ideas. So a seller listening, right? Unfortunately, a lot of sellers are not technical. I think most sellers are. I think the skill of a seller, over 20 years I've been doing this, is like the middle of like traditional business and online business. Like they're like middle of both. They're not like a logistics or like a factory. They're not really like a traditional company, but they're not really like a tech startup or online. They're kind of online, but they're kind of in the middle of traditional physical product manufacturing logistics enough to buy products and factories and deal with logistics. And they're good enough to work with online tools and online platforms to get their products onto markets and online and websites to sell. But they're not so technical. They, like you said, I have been encouraging sellers to get more technical. I've been seeing it in a lot of different events and sessions. And you've definitely been doing that. But I just wonder, do we expect everybody to make their own one project management system for their business? Or maybe is a service you could offer? Or is it like a SaaS? I guess it could be a SaaS, but I think everybody wants their own system, right? As a seller, they want to have this own system.
I won't disagree with you, Mike, because so far in my experience and my observation is there's no such SaaS solves everything. And at least in my forecast, this kind of custom made software for each individual or each business owner will kind of more, I think, profitable in long term. Of course, ahead it will be like it will burn a lot of setup or tokens, and then your setup ahead is really a lot, because what's happening here is I think some sellers here or more sellers here realizing that all the data you have, most of the time are holds by other company. So this approach that we are suggesting is much better for long term. And yeah, I don't want to answer right now about this because this service, to be honest,
yeah,
right now, guys, I kind of admit to some people.
We have been just saying it's a lot of work. But sorry, I'll let you finish.
It is, guys. It is. If you will think about it, because this is not just about the tool. You also need to make sure all your data is correct. And I kind of give my hands, or I will help some team on the current or the Shestone business to create their own project management tool. But yeah, let's see in the future, but right or not right now. I don't want to overcommit myself. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so, but I don't know if it's really like, how do I say, help seller? I guess it helps. What's an action item that they can do if they're not the most technical? Like, I've been in masterminds, I've been in events and conferences, and a lot are like, this is too much for me, or I don't have somebody in my company that's this dedicated technical. Or, but I think what, still Looker Studio, or I think some even we had a mastermind recently and they said Looker Studio too. Maybe I think the most important part, like you said, is getting the data, centralizing the data. Even if you're doing it maybe manually, right? Even if you're downloading it, say, from Seller Central, I think that's probably your core, right? Is you're aggregating data from multiple sources, of course, Amazon, but do you want to give us some other ideas of data sources, like logistics or something, and your COGS and suppliers and things like this?
Sure. So another feature that I have with my app, guys, is the logistic one, like what Mike mentioned. The reason why I added that is because of the landed COGS. Ever since I'm having trouble to calculate landed COGS, not just because I can't do it, it's just a lot of work when there's a lot of shipments. So we usually ship containers. I think we ship 5 per year containers with one of our brand. And for me, I want the accurate possible data as much as possible. So the app I made is I put all the logistic data from the supplier, packing list, up to the shipment cost, even the custom cost. So the goal of that is the system automatically will recalculate the data based on, depends if it is, of course, sea shipment or air shipment. If it is sea shipment, of course, it will be based on the volume. If it is air, based on the weight. That depends on your shipment that you've done. But that's actually the beauty of that. I was like trying to really make the FIFO smooth. So it means that first in, first out. So moving forward, those data will be automatically calculated based on your current sales that coming from Amazon, for example, or Walmart, or maybe you are a website that is being fulfilled by Amazon or full FBM. You can have those data and automatically deduct it with your cost. So other data types right now, like I said, I was doing some research or research feature. It means that I want to save. Technically, when I build things, guys, I just don't focus on one. I want to make sure that it will be something that reusable for other things. So the reason why I build it is because this afternoon, the team is discussing about this new product opportunity. One of our clients is discussing this product, is asking about the price and whatsoever. And I want it to save in my data. So what I was creating a spec now to build that in the app. And yeah, AI can collect data now inside the Amazon.com or whatever marketplace. You just need to have the right tools, of course. So with that, in the future, I can just send to the client, oh, here's the data for you. Okay, check it here or whatsoever. And then in the future, I can have those to review or even create like a weekly analysis. Is it moving forward or moving backward? Or is there a trend coming? Is there a trend that you need to prevent this product? Because technically, guys, we are researching about new potential product is the point. And obviously, those data, guys, still can be collected with third-party tools. Of course, we know that. But the thing here is I'm not just collecting about the sales or reviews. I'm collecting about their listing attitude. So I'm trying to collect their listing review. I collect also their reviews or all their images is if they are like flaws or whatsoever. So that's another one. And another one that I'm adding in the system is cases. So That one, the goal is I want to create a playbook. How my team solved this problem? How my team was able to solve this problem? How long does it take for them to solve the problem? So technically, what I'm going to do next is I will let the AI scrape the data in our accounts. Guys, we are not focusing on Amazon alone. It technically all kind of accounts you have, we will pull or scrape all those cases. Even there's an attachment, but what does all the text inside, and then I will migrate them inside the account. The reason why I added this as well is because we bought out, I hope it's not so private, but we bought out one account and I want the data in the other account. We have some data inside and we want to recover a new product. We want to recover an old product and we have cases inside related to that product because the reason why we shut down that product is some compliant issue. I want to move those data in my app because what if that account is closed? We don't know what happened, how the case was ended. What else? I think those are just samples, guys. Actually, right now, I think Mike is not really aware, but I'm not sure if I would reveal this, but I'm creating a visual knowledge base.
Wow, cool.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that one, guys. Imagine it like you have your device or your setup here. How do you think AI will analyze it? So technically, AI will need to read it and then, of course, analyze it. But for me, I will after the AI analyze it, I will create a data insight that, okay, this is what this image about. The reason for that is I will use it through my content. Technically, I'm scraping a lot of images in Amazon. Those top sellers, I want to understand how their images works. And then I will feed it through my AI for the next time. They know how to create an content for us, how to create the listing images for us, how to create the premium A-plus for us, storefront for us. So those are just I think I reveal a lot, but technically those are what I've been working.
No, I don't think it's super secret, but it's super valuable, right? I don't think we are starting to buy some of our shareholders out some of these brands, and we're consolidating things, which we could talk about as a speculation, but I don't know. I don't know if I hope you agree with the strategy, Christian, but I think older brands will have value. But I think the main highlight I got from what you're saying is data, right? Data. And we always heard this back in the day. I don't know about you, Christian, but I wish I listened better, but they always said data is like gold. Data is a new value, right? So I think the main lesson is try to gather as much data. Of course, it has to be somewhat relevant about your business, but any kind of relevant data about your business, past sales, listings, logistics, anything you can try to get and to use this as training data. Basically, what you're doing is training this model, this agent, this app, so that it knows as much as possible about your brand, about your sales, about your costs, to help you improve and be even more proactive and valuable, right? And I don't know. I don't think all the sellers on Amazon or e-commerce are doing this. I think this is going to be a bigger and bigger advantage. And I think if you're listening and hopefully this is valuable to you, I don't think of course, the more technical, the better, but probably the first thing is gathering the data and then putting it in some kind of a project or some kind of a single source that one agent can refer to. Of course, the best would be making a web application like what Christian's made, like a database and a web app. If that sounds overwhelming to you, you could probably just put a lot of this into certain projects on ChatGPT or others, or have some kind of way to have an agent access this data. But I think the most valuable part is when it is an application, it can keep historical data, it can make trends, it can get smarter. So I think this is going to become the advantage and the asset of a brand long term, right? I think this is becoming the value, right? And I think a lot of sellers just sell, right? And they just look at the sales and they kind of get an idea of their costs and they're looking at their profit. Maybe they're looking at Seller Board or some kind of a software. But I think the real advantage is going to be storing this data and using this data to your advantage to be more competitive in the market, right? Because we can be more competitive. We can know trends. We can adjust our pricing. We can make better content. And this will be like a way to stay ahead and probably win as a seller. So let's move on. I feel like this is super valuable and hopefully inspiring for people, probably a little overwhelming, and I hope people are not getting so much FOMO. It's definitely something you should be working on. So the next one is this agentic commerce. I still think it's super early. We're experimenting. I have people watching my AI talking about it all the time on my socials. But what do you think of this, Christian? What do you think of this agentic commerce? And do sellers, should they care? Do you care as a seller? What are your thoughts? You don't have to agree with me if you don't think.
I think, obviously, in the reality, guys, I'm the first beta tester of this. I think we have a couple. But I'm also contributing my expertise and experience into it because I believe, actually, I even asking my, can I invest? Because I believe, guys, this is kind of, it made me realize how amazing that will be, like, for AI to access all of this. So in my first talk, or is in the first piece of my talk, I was talking on my own data, but this one is you are trying to make AI understand your data or your product. So technically it is still too early, like Mike said. There are still things that we are still discussing because there are things that we are not sure, but it is working. It is.
Yeah.
Like, so, I can buy a product to you, or you can ask your AI buy a product to us. For example, you can check our stores. I'm not sure if you guys following our stores, for sure, from Mike TV shows or whatsoever. So still, I'm not expert on this, so I don't have much to say, but I totally believe on it, to be honest. I don't want to speculate too much. But maybe Mike can say more based on this.
Sure. Like you said, even Google, Stripe, OpenAI, like, I think they're not totally sure, right? There's different standards. So if people want to get technical, there's two standards called ACP and UCP. You can look them up. You can ask your favorite AI. ACP is Agentic Commerce Protocol. UCP is Universal Commerce Protocol. I keep mixing it up. I got to memorize. But, like, I think ACP is Stripe and some other big company. And I think UCP, I believe, is, like, Google and like Shopify, I'm pretty sure. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but basically there's two major standards, and the way it's working is they are trying to standardize the way agents read e-commerce data to transact. And I know a lot of people, especially e-commerce sellers, for some reason are hesitant to blockchain and crypto. Yeah, a lot of us have gotten wrecked on crypto and scams, so I know it has a bad rap, but it's using blockchain technology. It's using stable coins, so it's almost like US dollars. Stable coins are pegged to stable or currencies such as the US dollar, but also can be other, but this is US dollars. So essentially an agent can make a financial transaction autonomously or by themselves or with a human involved as well. So it's super early. I had lunch a couple of days ago with this investor guy I've known for a long time, and he's investing in a airplane tickets agentic commerce company that lets you buy airplane tickets through AI, through chat. I don't know much more. I might talk to that team soon because it's somewhat similar to what we're doing. But what we're doing is called BMOS, B-M-O-S, or actually Build My Online Store. Actually, some of you might know the podcast. It's my friend Terry Lynn started a podcast in 2012. I've carried on the site. I didn't carry on the show, but we're bringing it back as a agentic commerce standard that helps you do both ACP and UCP so that your stores can be both in the Google side and the Stripe side. And hopefully they'll probably both work, but it's an emerging technology. But some of you see me on my weekly videos about Janice buying coffee for me for $2, and she's done this and it's worked autonomously, but it's super early, right? I think some people said we're in like the 1996 or something of the internet. And actually Amazon, I think, started in 1996. So I do think there will be new e-commerce platforms and marketplaces built fully on agentic commerce, which, of course, we don't know what it is. But if you talk to Amazon in 1996, you'd probably be like, what the heck are you doing? Some kind of a website to sell books? Are you crazy? You probably would have said that in 1996, right? So we're at that same point now, in my opinion, for the agentic web or the agentic commerce. And Of course, with those times in 1996, there was probably a lot of other competitors or alternatives to Amazon.com that probably had really good stories and technology that didn't become Amazon. So, of course, it's not settled on what the best or the leading or the most common one will be. But we're trying our best to build a standard for that. And there's a lot more. And I have trouble trying to find the easiest way to explain it, but I don't know. Is that helpful, Christian? Do you think?
Yeah, I think for us it is really. I think let's classify more what Mike's meant on the standard. Of course, like it's not what we build is like more on easy route. Like technically it's working, but we are want to also comply in all these legalities and whatsoever. And I think that's only my issue with the current, with the things that we need to work on. And obviously, it's not hard. It's just we need to make a standard. And technically, we need people, feedbacks, and whatsoever to help us, of course. But
yeah.
That's actually the thing. Yeah.
So stay tuned. We are working on a program for early beta users that are actively selling on e-commerce, probably more Amazon sellers, but maybe also other platforms. We also support Shopify. So definitely stay tuned in our community, our newsletter for that. We are working on a opportunity for those interested. So I think we're basically on time. I think there's another couple segments. I think Snook's coming on after about Cross-Border Summit, the road. But let's close. Christian, what are some things you think sellers, practical things that they should do? I feel like we gave some of that already, but what is some forward ways sellers can take action now? With AI, agentic web, what are a couple things you think?
Yeah, I think mainly is understand your current operations. If it is slow or is there a lot of blockage, you might revisit AI setup or a system will help you. That's I think number one. Number two, I'll be frank, but I think sellers, unless you're rich, of course, if you can pay a lot of SaaS. But I think you guys, all of us, like even me, I'm not really a professional or so. I was just studying all the time. I always don't agree with AI. Like I ask him, my agent, to explain this first before I implement, to be honest. Like even brainstorming, we do a lot of brainstorming and whatsoever. But my point here is need to be more technical. I think that's my second point. So the third point is, I think, the data itself, like I mentioned in the first part of the of this show. Data is still, I truly believe that you need to start saving your own data. And it's not expensive to save data, guys, to be honest. Like, it's like a pinch. Depends, of course, on your current data. And obviously, that's the reason why other SaaS companies making money. But this is not about others' data. It's your own data that I'm talking about. You should save your own data somewhere that you can let AI access it freely. Not freely for public, but freely with you. Because technically what I set up is the agent. I'm not sure how much technical people here, but I use MCP. Technically, they act like me, but with some precautions and, of course, permissions level that I implemented. So I think that's my third point. My fourth point is try to forecast what's going to happen next. Because for me, I'm still puzzled. I'm thinking, if this AI can do this now, what's more?
Yeah.
What's next? Is it I need to prepare selling robot arm, robot parts as another project or another e-commerce? So I think we need to be, this is the wrong approach. You don't have to apply whatever you see online. You just need to understand what's happening on the AI world and make sure, you are not trying to overcomplicate things. Because, I think it's overwhelming. Obviously, not sure how to say it easily for everyone here. It's really overwhelming. So maybe you are thinking that, okay, I have things to do than understanding this.
Yeah, it's hard to give people a direct, but I think it's like you said, R&D, you're going to probably spend more money on maybe tokens or software at the beginning or for a while like we did. I still say Replit. Wow, it's doing that explosion. I was in a video. Got fireworks. But I think to do something new, you kind of got to be willing to make maybe a mistake, maybe spend a little bit extra money, or I guess you can call it quote unquote waste, but maybe put in your R&D budget. But you can try Replit, you can try Lovable. It seems like it's more not as needed as it used to be, but they're still probably helpful for new people that are not technical. But of course, you can jump right into Claude now, probably, or probably jump right into Codex with Open or others. But those are a little bit more like training wheels for getting technical. So you could maybe use a Replit or a Lovable, so that a lot our friends and I, we have started with that. And then you just kind of move up. So maybe just make a simple one. I think probably the other advice is, I don't know if you actually agree, but I make small apps and then I get, but actually, or just make an app that you're willing to throw away. Maybe you don't think it's going to last forever. Make something that might not be your final software that does everything in your company. Maybe don't have to hold on to this code, right? I think a lot of, we would call it, I put bankrupt on some of the projects now. Like, I still don't want to delete it, but I'm like bankrupt. But I feel like those helped me get to where I got, because I just broke it and it was so messed up. I was like, I'm done with this. But then you just start a new one. It's not like the old way of coding where you had to spend so much time making it. So maybe just don't be afraid to make a mistake or make an app that you're going to throw away. Or even my son, I had him make a cat thing. And I'm like, don't worry. You know, if you don't like it or it doesn't work, just make another one. So that's actually, in my opinion, in innovation and R&D, is don't be afraid to make something ugly or broken or doesn't work perfectly, but maybe don't put that to production for your customers or something. But if it's some internal tool, something for you to test, I think that's probably the biggest, I would say, is, and that's what I think we have done, because I've made a bunch of apps we don't use. It kind of makes me upset. But sometimes maybe it helped us get some ideas of features and specs that we used in another software, right? Maybe, hopefully. So that's what I would say. And
yeah, I think on my take on that, guys, is I fully agree. I think I throw more apps than me, but I think I build more at 10 that I just throw. They are sitting on my repo. I disconnected already the hosting.
Yeah.
It's funny, but at the same time, I think
experienced developers would say the same. They're probably GitHub's back pre-AI had a lot of repos that they abandoned. But actually, I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
I agree. Of course, we are not experts, guys, but those are just our experiences here that we can give suggestions to you guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is thanks, man. I hope you're not like, damn, I shared too much, but I think it was helpful and I hope people appreciate. So yeah, if people are interested, maybe you can talk to us about software. We're considering maybe doing some enterprise setup if their seller's really interested in us. They can probably do it themselves, maybe, right? But everybody's trying to make their own. Maybe set up something
for us. The thing here, I think, guys, is maybe if you are unsure, you can book a call. The team is here, so we can show you. We don't like maybe 30-minute call. You will see what we have. Maybe you are part of our community or whatsoever. We can share it for free if you need help how to do this. That's the time that, of course, we kind of agree on how to set up these things. Yeah, I think that's my take here.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks, Christian. Anne is behind the scenes with the strings of this show, but I think we have maybe you're done, but I'm moving on to another session. Anne, are you? Oh, there is a question. Marethan said, is software different from Shopify's AI? Maybe you're talking about the Bilma online store. I can answer that. So you can check it out at BilmaOnlineStore.com. It's not as polished as Shopify. We actually have a Shopify plugin, but the core, I think, difference is we are multi-channel at the core, and it's meant to be multi-distribution from the beginning. And the short answer is we are more like a product feed. We're not a front end. Shopify is a store. We are a feed. And I believe that's the future of agentic commerce. So I believe it's the future is not the UI. Right now, Shopify, of course, they have the MCP, and we have an MCP. I think they're not stupid, right? Shopify's a huge, smart company. I think they see it, right? Salesforce went like fully agentic, right? So Salesforce is made theirs where you don't even need to log into their website. You can just use their MCPs and APIs and data. And you. So the future is no front end, no UI. So Build My Online Store is, it does have a UI. It can make a storefront for you, but it's more to build a multi-distribution front end on multiple channels as well as marketplaces from day one. It's a little bit more technical. I did sit with some sellers on it and they're a little bit, it's a little bit overwhelming, but we'd love to hear your thoughts or if you'd like to reach out. I don't really think it's appropriate to do like a demo today, but maybe we can do some demos. It is, I believe a lot in it. But the short answer is it's more like your data layer. And then we help you make different front ends, like multiple websites to your Amazon, to your Shopify. We actually feed into your Shopify. So it's more like the back end. Yeah, it's wild, man. We are building it so it feeds into ChatGPT so that you can shop with ChatGPT. And there's no website. So actually, you don't need to make a website with ours. And you could actually not use a website if you don't want. You could just use our feed and you could keep your Shopify store, your WooCommerce store. We're almost like a channel so that we help you feed into the AI so that they can buy from without a front end. As well as a front end, but we don't want to make a store builder. Like Christian was blown, I think, I don't want to say he's blown away, but he connected it. And then he could just chat and it can make different stores for him, right? Like pretty quickly. But you have to host it yourself. And I know it sounds technical, but we don't host your store. But yeah, if you're interested in at least a question, and we should do more like sessions on that software. I'm trying. It's a startup. We're building it out. It's early. And we're working on this freaking hard, man. Right? How many months? I think we got to wrap up on our time, but we will have another segment. I don't know if Anne's here. Anne, are we? Can you help me out or do I just stay here? Okay, thanks, Marantha. Okay. Okay, thanks, Keen Parrot. Okay. Something. Yeah. I'm always trying to find the next big thing, right? And I think we're hoping, as always, we're trying to find one and to help you guys too. So thanks for tuning in and your interest in it.
Wow. Every time we talk about AI, I think I have a handle on it. And then someone like Christian comes on and just completely expands the horizon. What a fantastic conversation.
Right. My takeaway from Christian is that the transition from a traditional Amazon seller to someone utilizing agentic commerce isn't just a luxury anymore. It's becoming a survival metric. The way he explained AI agents taking over actual workflows at Paraliving was mind-blowing.
Yeah, and I love how transparent he was about Build My Online Store. It's so refreshing to get a real user's perspective on what these tools can actually do right now and where the tech still needs a bit of polish.
Exactly. It's not magic. It's a tool. But in the hands of the right operator, it changes the entire game. And his final advice for cross-border sellers, if you aren't experimenting with these systems today, you're going to be playing a massive game of catch-up tomorrow.
Huge thanks to Christian Kelly Garcia for coming on and sharing his playbook with us. If you want to check out what he's building over at Paraliving Holdings or look into BMOS yourself, we will have all of those links in the show notes.
And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this with a fellow seller who needs to hear it. It really helps us keep bringing on incredible guests like Christian.
That's it for us today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromanywhere.com. That's www.globalfromanywhere.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.